precision. And the Rambam, he says something very interesting. He says that the lighting of the candles of Hanukkah is equivalent to reading the Megillah. These are the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says that after the miracle of Hanukkah, they were misake in a yomtif lahoidesu lahalel, and they were misakein to light the Hanukkah candles just like they were misakein on Purim to read the Megillah. It doesn't say persumenis. Let me actually read you the words. Let me see if I can find the words over here from the Rambam. He has this is an incredible sefer, Rabbi Tezner. Such a Talmud Chacham. Such incredible things he has. He has so much Torah. And he has a whole chapter here, just dissecting the Rambam. Okay, I'll read over here. The Rambam, Hilchos, Megillah of Hanukkah. Even the Rambam, you know, he groups together Megillah and Hanukkah in one section. And he writes there, Paragimel, Halacha Beis. He writes here, let's go over here even further. Oh, let's go to Halacha Gimel. Umibnei Zeh. Again, the Rambam, Hilchos, Megillah of Hanukkah. Paragimel, Halacha Gimel. He writes, Umibnei Zeh, Hiskinu Chachamim Sheba Isa Hador, the Chachamim of that generation, Shehiyu, Shemoinas Hayamim Ho'elu, Shetchilosan Milel, Chanisha V'Eshem Mekislev, Yimei Simcha V'Halal. So his words are, Simcha, the Rambam holds that these days shall be days of Simcha, the Halel, which is interesting because we don't paskin like this. Because if they were days of Simcha, you would be required to have a Su'uda. And the Mechaber says, you're not mechuyev to have a Su'uda. There's no obligation to have a Chanukah party. But the Rambam says the days of Simcha v'Halel u'madlikim bohem neiros be'erev in the evening al pischei habatim b'chol laila v'laila b'shmeres halelos laharos, someone said this, presumably it's laharos u'legalos hanes b'yamim elu, these days hein hanikroin chanukah v'hein asurin behesped v'tainis kimei hapurim. They're just like Purim. The Rambam puts on a pedestal Purim. Purim is the Iker. And Chanukah is like Purim. The Iker is Purim. Chanukah is secondary. And here are the key words. V'hadlokas haneirois bohen mitzvah midivrei soifrim kikriyas ha-Megillah. Nochamol. Like reading the Megillah. Atkan lashon Rambam. So the Rambam over here, every word of the Rambam is filled with chidushim. He very clearly states that if you only have a choice between Chanukah and Purim, you know what the Ikar is? Purim. Purim happened earlier. Purim happened approximately 250 years before.
That's why he's comparing it to Purim, because Purim was Purim.
Historically happened before. And they were Misake and Chanukah like Purim. Chanukah was patterned. The template for Chanukah is Purim. I don't think most people don't look at it like that. Most people that you'll talk to will say, Heilichud v'Heilichud. There was the Mordechai v'Esther and whoever was there, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they are the ones who established Purim. And then 250 years later, there was a new group of rabbis who decided we have to have a Chanukah holiday called Chanukah. And they do whatever they want to do. They went. They went on their own, and they decide how they want to commemorate the holiday. Okay, you do whatever you want to go do. No, the people who came along, who established Chanukah, they took Purim as their model, and every part, every element of Chanukah has a precedent in Purim. That's what he seems to be saying. He says these days are Nikram Chanukah Vehein Asun Vehesped Vitainis Kimei Apurim. Oh, just like on Purim, you're not allowed to have Hespedim, you're not allowed to fast. You know what? 8 days of Chanukah, no Hespedim, and also Isatainis.
Maybe this is where you learn how. You can't just make up your own holidays.
Correct.
So here we see they made up a holiday, but it was parallel to Purim.
Pattern, right.
And that's why it was allowed for the Rabbanim to do it.
Okay, all right. And then, the Hadlokas
Haneiros. Now, there was a Megillus Tainus.
Okay, we're going to come, I'm going to come to this on that. Okay.
That includes Hadlokas. Did that include also Purim? Megillus Tainus? I don't think so.
Megillus Tainus, it was after Purim. Was after Purim. It was after, right. It doesn't include Purim. It was after Purim. Okay, that's another element. Okay, then, but then he goes on, V'hadlokas haneris bohen mitzvah midivrei sevim kikriyas ha-megillah. Oh, if we're making a new holiday. So what are we going to make a holiday? We can't just make a new holiday. We have to go back to Purim. Purim was a holiday, and Purim is a Megillah. There's a Megillah Esther. It's soif kol. Chazal say that Purim was soif kol hanisim. Frek the Gemara, soif kol hanisim. Oh, v'ika Chanukah. Likosef. Likosef. There's a book. It's one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It's part of the what's the word called? No, there's a certain word. What's it called?
Canon.
The canon. It's part of the canon. That's one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It's the last one to be. So when Chazal came along and they made Chanukah, Purim, we have a mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Purim? What is the mitzvah to make a bracha? You don't make a bracha on Mishloach Manos. You don't make a bracha on Purim Matanis Levyoinim. You don't make a bracha when you eat a su'uda on Purim. When did Chazal tell you to make a bracha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'mitzvanu al mikra Megillah. Oh, so let's read the Megillah. Megillas Antiochus. There's Megillas Antiochus, there's Megillas Chashm, there's a whole bunch of collection of different Megillahs. The main one is Megillas Antiochus, the whole Shiloh, it's got a little bit corrupted over the generations. We have the real Girsa. So let's read. No, we can't, because the Shaloi Nitnu Likosef. It was Chanukah with Soif Kol Hanisim, so we cannot write the miracle of Chanukah in a book. That we're not allowed to do anymore. We've already passed that Tekuf of the Nevi'im. We can no longer write a book. But we need, if we're going to make a holiday, it has to be patterned after Purim. So the answer is, what are we going to do? Hadlokas Neirois. Hadlokas Neirois is thus, when you're lighting the Chanukah Neirois, what you're really doing is, it is the equivalent or the next best thing to reading the Megillah, Mikra Megillah. That's quite a mouthful. That explains also a little bit why we light candles in the Beis HaKnesses. Why is there a minhag to make a bracha, in the Beis HaKnesses? It's a tremendous chiddush. Since when do you make the mitzvah is ner ish ubeisoy? So why then is there a minhag? So why do we light candles in the Beis HaKnesses? It's not a bias. It's a whole shayla bracha, and all these they do it today. No one bats an eyelash, but Chabad, they're very big into public menorah lighting, candle lighting, and they make brachas. They have these menorahs all over the place, and they bring politicians. I didn't watch the Chanukah party this year in the White House. Okay, but there it's not a riot. They bring in a reform conservative. But it used to be back in the day, they had an Orthodox Chanukah party in the White House, and they make a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah. Well, at least it's a house, a bias.
Well, your cousin sort of.
Mayor Yaakov Soloveitchik, you're right.
He didn't make it inside Shabbos night.
He did say.
He did not.
Are you sure?
He didn't say Shabbos
night. He didn't say Hashem's name when he on the bracha on the president, head of state.
No.
On the Chanukah candles? No.
Yes.
No.
You sure? Okay, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember. But Chabad, they do these public Chanukah ceremonies and they make brachas in the street. Who says you're allowed to do that? What? They're das yachid, but they do. Everyone does it. They do this. They make the mitzvah of Chanukah is in the bayis. Ner ish ubeisai. It's a tremendous chiddush that you can make a bracha on lighting candles in the Beis HaKnesses. Because it's only a minhag, and you make a bracha on a minhag? Since when you make a bracha on a minhag? Tremendous chiddush that we light candles in the Beis HaKnesses, and you make a bracha when we light candles in the Beis HaKnesses. You want to go so far and just light candles out in the street? So what? It's not business. Okay, so they, I'm not chas v'shalom coming to court. Obviously, they have a mahalich, and they have poiskim and they have a rebbis 100%. But it is lahalacha, tremendous chiddush to light candles, even to light candles in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha. The poiskim struggle. Where does that come from? To go light candles in the Beis HaKnesses. So I'm trying to answer. Now, so the answer they give is it's a minug, and on a minug you can make a bracha. There are exceptional cases where you do make a bracha when you do a minug. For example, saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, Ashkenazim only. Ashkenazim, you make, that's a minug. It's only a minug. Yeah, you make a bracha, so there are exceptions. But I'm trying to be miyashiv, and when we appreciate from the Rambam that the lighting of the Chanukah candles is bimkoim mikra megillah. This is a tremendous chiddush. Is that really, you can't just make your own holiday. The holiday of Chanukah is paralleled after Purim. Where, what do they do on Purim? They lane the Megillah, Mikra Megillah. They made a bracha. We can't do that because Chazal told us that Mikra Megillah is soif hanisim li kosef. We're not allowed to put in writing the story. We cannot put in writing the story of Chanukah. That is a non-starter. Because we don't have any more Nevi'im prophets that are able to have the Ruach HaKodesh to put the story of Chanukah into a Megillah and to be part of the canon. But if we're going to make a holiday, there has to be a parallel. Hadlokas Neirois. That captures the essence of Mikra Megillah. And this opens up a whole new world. So right away, we can understand at least a little bit of an appreciation of why we do it in the Beis HaKnesses. Because the Beis HaKnesses is the place where you have Mikra Megillah. Where do you do Mikra Megillah? Where everyone comes together. So instead, we have the Mikra Megillah. The makom where it's going to be is going to be in the Beis HaKnesses. This idea of being moisef v'hoylech, of every day adding and adding, that is a form of reading. Why do we have, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah, you don't just light a candle, the same candle every single day. What do you do? Every single day you do something different. You're moisef ha'olech. Yesterday was one. I want to suggest that is an outgrowth of reading. When you have a Sefer Torah, what is a Sefer Torah? Just one paragraph? The beauty of a story is you have chapters. And each chapter by itself is not enough. It's only when you have another chapter. Each chapter is foreshadowing what's coming next. What comes next, oh, now I can relate to what came before. If the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neirois was just a stand-alone mitzvah that has no parallel to anything, I think what we would do is we would light every single day 8 candles. First of all, why has it been 8 days? If you want to say it's 8 every day, so light 8 candles every single day, like in the department stores. The department stores, it's too complicated every day to turn on another light. Some of them do. You just have a Chanukah menorah and you turn all the lights. The goyim know the sophistication of every day it's another light. You have 8 candles, so you just turn on all 8 lights in one shot and you let the Chanukah menorah remain lit all 8 days. Or have one candle. What's this? Every single day there's a procession. B'shama, you go down, can't be asleep. It's because that to a degree captures the principle of a Megillah. What is the story of the Megillah? One chapter, another chapter, another chapter, another chapter. Oh, and when all of the chapters come together, you got a story. You got a story. You light one candle, another candle, there is a process. The process of being Moisef HaHoylech is an expression that is extracted from the Megillah. Because that's what the Megillah, when you read, you are combining, you're building more information until you reach a climax of, oh, and now it all comes together. Balayla hahu nadadosh nasa melech. Zois Chanukah, the 8th day of Chanukah, is only appreciated, you know, the miracle got more and more and more and more and more. There is an element of this has to be developed more, of where we have to study the way we do the mitzvah of Hadlokas Haneros, appreciate the Rambam, that the Hadlokas Haneros is derived from Mikra Megillah, and show the parallels, if we can find, to prove that this idea is correct. Now, let's go to the topic we started talking about in the beginning, and that is, why, if indeed it's paralleled after Mikra Megillah, why didn't Chazal create its own limud, its own mesechta? Even a small mesechta, a little mesechta, which has all of the laws of Chanukah in it. Why do we only have scattered Maimorim? It's in the Mishnah here, mentions here. Why don't we have a complete Masechta Chanukah? So the classic answer, which is said over there with the Chasam Sofer, which is really a shocking, shocking answer, which has been very severely challenged, is because Rabbeinu HaKadosh is from Shevet Yehuda. And it says in the Torah, Lo Yosu Shevet Yehudu Mechoyek Mibein Raglov, and the Chashmonoim at the time of the Chanukah miracle, they come from Shevet Levi. These were Koyhanim, and they stepped up to the plate, and they went and they fought the battles, and then when they won the battles, they became by default the leaders, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. They reinstated the Malchus of Klal Yisrael in their family. They served a double role. They were the Kohanim, and they were also the kings. Now let's appreciate the problem with that. So what's so terrible? Big deal. So, Ace Lasseis. Ace belongs to Yehuda. What about Shaul? Let's go back to the beginning of Jewish history. Who was the first king in Klal Yisrael? Shaul. What shape did he come from? Binyamin. Was he anointed by Achiah HaShiloini? Was he anointed? Yeah, he was anointed. He was by Shmuel. He was anointed with Shemen HaMishra. Ah, so the Rebbeinu Shemen HaMishra is a Navi. The Rebbeinu Shalom is speaking. It's illegal. Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Michoyek Mibein Raglav. How was Shmuel HaNavi allowed to go and anoint a person who is not from Shevet Yehuda? This is illegal. This is Shloi Kedin. Teretz is, obviously, when it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Michoyek Mibein Raglav, it doesn't mean it's absolute. It means that ultimately, however you want to finesse it, that's not our topic right now. Just to prove the point, the fact that Shmuel HaNavi was allowed to anoint a melech from a tribe that is not from Yehuda goes to show that we don't fully understand what it means, Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Michoyek Mibein Raglav. Further,
Rabbi Nell makes a point of saying Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda means, of course he was from Shevet Yehuda, but he triumphs it. And says, as long as this part of the leadership is from Shevet Yehuda, so the Hashmonaim could be in charge, as long as there's somebody, a vice president.
We're not gonna, okay, there are many ways to finesse, but it just goes to show. Another riot. What about the Malchus split? The Malchus of Rechavam split. After there was David, Shlomo, finally went to Yehuda, and now we have David, and we have Shlomo, and then there's Rechavam. Oh, all of a sudden we have Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat, he takes 10 of the Shvatim and he makes his own Malchus, Malchus Yisrael. Oh, you know who sanctioned that? The Navi also sanctioned that. Achiah HaShiloini, he anointed him. And then later, when it was a Nachmal, there was another anointing. I don't remember all the details, the whole history. This was sanctioned by the Nevi'im. What do you mean? What's going on? Binyamin, he was the Melech. And then later, and also Moshe was also a Melech at one point. But then later we have Yeravam ben Nevat, Shevet Ephraim. and the Nevi'im said it's okay, and this went on for 200 years? What's going on? So obviously this pasuk of Lo Yosu Shev Yehudim Mechogim Raglav has to be understood, and that's a different topic of discussion. So what then was so terrible when the Chashmonoim, the family of the Chashmonoim, went and they became the kings of the Jewish people? They took over leadership, and they were not from Shevet Yehuda. What's so terrible? So I want to suggest to you what is the tragedy. Ramachol, you ready for this, Ramachol, what the tragedy is? The tragedy is, there's no longer, it's good, you could have another Shevet, but you cannot have Shevet Levi being the Melech, because then you don't have checks and balances. In other words, there is two institutions amongst the Jewish people. There's Malchus and there is Kohuna. And just like Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos in America, we appreciate this. There is thing called checks and balances. There is the executive branch. There is the legislative branch and the judicial branch. And this has served to a degree as a bracha of division of power, and each one serves as a check and balance against the other. This was stolen from Klal Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu established Klal Yisrael, there's a Malchus and there's Kohuna, and they're very different roles. And in fact, there are three roles. There's the Sanhedrin, okay, there's the legislative branch, there's the Sanhedrin, there's executive, which is the Malchus, and there's the Kohuna, which is a little bit different, which is the Ruchnis of Klal Yisrael. There are checks and balances built into Klal Yisrael. So if you can't have Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda Mi Choygik Mi Bein Raglav, where the Malchus goes to Yehuda, okay. We have precedent that it won't always be in the possession of Yehuda. But one thing we have no precedent for, that power should be in the same hands as another branch of government, as let's say the Kohuna, because then there's no checks and balances. If the Kohuna is the Malchus and the Malchus is Kohuna, you know what that means? Corruption. There's no checks and balances. The friction.
So then it was okay as a temporary emergency measure, but they overstayed.
That's another answer. That's another mahalach is that they should have given it up. After the Hanukkah miracle, they were supposed to go and relinquish their control and give it back to Yehuda. I won't even say that. Forget that's. I want to say something different. Is even if they wouldn't give it up, let's say they would keep it. You know, they would keep it for a longer period of time. There's something fundamentally wrong here. There has to be this friction. This they have to be possessed by two different groups. It may not be possible always that it should be in the hands of Yehuda, for whatever the reason, but if it's not going to be in the hands of Yehuda, it cannot be in the hands of Levi. If Levi is the Kohuna, they can't have the Malchus. Anyone in Klal Yisrael can have the Malchus except Yehuda. Except Levi. Because Levi automatically has the Kohuna. And if Levi's going to have the Malchus, there's no way they can, the Klal Yisrael can be sustained without anyone saying boo and challenging corruption going on in either one of the two branches. This is a fundamental problem. And this is to be miyash of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says the reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not want to write a Masechta Chanukah, because the Chassam Sofer explains because Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Shevet Levi. I'm sorry, from Shevet Yehuda. And the Chashmonaim were usurpers to the throne. They took possession of the Malchus, and they had no business doing so, and therefore Rabbeinu HaKadosh could not tolerate this, and he had to make a statement that what was done was illegal, and the way he made his statement was by bedafka, not giving the Chashmonoim, the Yom Tov, the miracle that came about through their hands, any weight by giving it a Masechta, because by giving it a Masechta, it would automatically give this family chashivus, it would give them kavod, and giving them kavod is a violation of the law. So that's what the Olam says. The question is, first of all, you're making Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi petty, that he has tainis, this is history, this is what it was. Mashoya Kvar Hoya was an ace, lasois l'Hashem. And besides that, who says it has to only be Shevet Yehuda? Look at Binyamin, look at Yeravim ben Nevat, look at Achia HaShiloini who sanctioned this, and look at what is Rabbi Eidu HaKadosh coming to do with it? Why should it be such a terrible thing that you should deny Klal Yisrael a Masechta? So the answer is no. We're trying to be Miyashiv. This is Taka corrupt. There is a very deep corruption here which cannot be tolerated, because it takes away the checks and balances when the two branches of government and Klal Yisrael are controlled by one. In other words, I'm suggesting that if the Chashmonaim was not from Shevet Levi, but the Chashmonaim was from Shevet Dan, then Rabbeinu HaKadosh would have wrote a Masechta Chanukah. He would have wrote himself, oh, Lord, Yosef Yehuda, big deal. But because it's the same, this is something that is so, which is something which is so disturbing, we got it. Okay, that is one mahalach. Now, by the way, many, is it very cold over here all of a sudden?
Yes.
Because
the door is
open.
Keep on
opening
that door.
Well, they,
you
know, we have to tape up the stuff.
And it's also...
Okay, so that's what. Now another answer. Okay, there's another answer to this question. And that is completely rejects. And that is, we once spoke about this. Is that we have a principle. We have a principle that ace lasois, ace lasois Hashem heferu torasecha. When it's an ace lasois, you are allowed to do things that are ordinarily forbidden. What is the classic example? Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, according to Mikra Din, is not allowed to be put in writing. Categorically forbidden to be put in writing. How come today we have over here a whole library, everything is put in writing? Because we are weak, and if we don't, Chazal made the determination that if we do not put in writing, we are going to forget. And they interpreted there's a back door that the Torah allowed us to do this, and it's up to Chazal to decide when to do this. Ace lasos l'Hashem a time when we need exceptional rulings. Heferu Torasecha, they are allowed to annul a law in the Torah or to ignore a law in the Torah, and this has been put into practice by being permitted to put in writing Torah Shebal Peh. Now, there is a rule, though, even when you say Eis Lasois LaShem Heferu Torasecha, you can't just uproot it 100%. You have to leave over something that we still follow the rules. For example, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, do we blow Shofar? No. Why not? Why don't we blow Shofar? Because Shema Yavrenu Dal Amis Bereshus Sarab. How could Chazal come along and do that?
Right.
When the Torah says blow Shofar? So we have rule. Shev Al Tase. We're not uprooting the Torah. We're just telling you, stand down, not to do it. However, why are they allowed to do that? The only reason why they're allowed to do that is because most of the time, or on other years, Rosh Hashanah does not fall out on Shabbos. And then we will be able in those other years to blow Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But what would happen if, let's say, for argument's sake, make believe, a world of fantasy, Rosh Hashanah would fall out on Shabbos every single year? Would Chazal then be able to say, we don't want you to ever blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because you might carry the shofar at Dalet Amos and the Rishos Sarabim? They could not do that. Impossible. The only time Chazal can do Eis Lazes Lashem, the only time they can be Oiker, the Dover Ben Atar B'Shevi Al Taseh, is where they leave over a Mokoim where the Halacha is being fulfilled. Because most of the time Rosh Hashanah does not fall out on Shabbos, so then they can make an exception that when Rosh Hashanah does fall out on Shabbos, then do not blow the shofar. But if Rosh Hashanah would fall out on Shabbos every single year, and Chazal would want to say, okay, we're never going to blow a shofar, never going to blow a shofar anymore because Yishem Yavrin Dal Hamas Birshus Sarabim, they can't do that. They can't do that. Right? What are we laying on Shabbos? How are we allowed to lay? You might come to take the Sefer Torah, you might carry the Sefer Torah. You might come to carry the Sefer Torah. You'll never lay on Shabbos. You only time you can do Eis Lasas and the Mevatel LeMitzvah is when you leave over the fulfillment and the performance of the mitzvah in its authentic state elsewhere. So here we have Eis Lasas LaHashem. We have taken the entire Torah and we've put it in writing. The whole Torah, every mitzvah, Taryag mitzvahs, everything has been put in writing in Shas, in Talmud, the Mishnayis, Talmud Bavli. Eis Lasos LaHashem, Heferu Torasecha. Where's the exception? Chazal, even when they do an Eis Lasos LaHashem, Heferu Torasecha, they must preserve something in which we're going to observe the way it was meant to be observed. You can't go and every year, you know what, you're not going to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah because there you'll find a reason, you'll find some excuse why it's dangerous to come to violation of halacha. You can't do that. There has to be a makom where the halacha is fulfilled correctly, and then we can make exceptions. So it would appear that when Chazal instituted Eis Lasas LaShem Hefer Terasecha and we're allowed to put Torah Shem Al Peh in writing, there's no exception. There's no exception. Every single prat of every single inyan of halacha of Torah Shem Al Peh is in writing. Where is a makom that they left over that it's being preserved in its purest form? And the answer is Chanukah. Masechta Chanukah.
Well, Rabbi, what he says is Shmita Yovel and Shabbos and Yom Kippur. You blow shofar anyhow. Because Koach Yachachom Lakod over Menatorah, below Kold over Menatorah.
Okay, but you don't even need to come on that on a regular Shabbos. On a regular year, we left over, you blow shofar. Okay, on Shabbos, so there's the one place they left over. On Shabbos also. It's on Shabbos also. So the answer is that everything of the Torah is put in writing. But there's one thing that Rabbeinu HaKadosh had to leave out. He had to make a decision to leave out a miktsoya of Torah Shebal Peh that's bedafka, not in writing, and will only be preserved through tradition of being passed down from one generation to the next of Alpi HaDvar Mo'ela. So what is he going to select? Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Korbanos, Hilchos Noshim. You know what he selected? He selected Masechta Chanukah. That is going to be the dogma of where we're not going to apply Eis Lasos to leave over in the chelik of Torah Shebal Peh. It's Taka Torah Shebal Peh. There's no Masechta Chanukah. How do you know the laws of Chanukah? Ask your father. Ask your Rebbe. How does your Rebbe know? His Rebbe taught him. It's not in writing. It's not in not just like it's not in writing in Shebichsav, because Megillas Esther was Seif Kol HaNisim of writing. So too in the Torah Shebal Peh, this is where we left over a mokoim in Torah Shebal Peh, where it's not put in writing, because there has to be this element of Eis Lasos LaHashem. And like especially the whole miracle of Chanukah was v'loy matzu el pach echad shel shemen v'limurim b'choy sama shel kohen gadol, purity. In the Yom Tov of Chanukah captures the concept of tahara, purity, 100%. This is the perfect miktsoya of Torah that we're going to leave over al pi chadvar mo'ela. There's no masechta. You want to know what the halacha is? Ask your Rebbe. It's going to be transmitted from generation to generation only through the Messiah. Nothing more than that. Okay, so that is another mahalach to explain. We're going to get two mahalachim of why it's not mentioned, to review very quickly, why is it not mentioned in the Mishnayos. Number one, it's built upon the Chasam Sofer, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh cannot tolerate the chait of Lo Yosur Shevet Miyehuda Umichoykik Mibein Ragov. Malchus belongs to Yehuda. We challenge that. It's not me. Many of the Gedolei Yisrael challenge. What? What's going on over here? Rabbeinu HaKadosh is being petty because it belongs to his family. It's very, very difficult to say that he would have tainus.
You see in the Gemara, at the end of Arius, he was not petty. He was the opposite of petty.
Exactly.
Because
so it doesn't.
He said, why did he complain to his father? Me PM Anuchoyim and we Yashmosam, we Anuyo. Why do we say Acherim? And why do we say Acherim Amru? Because, his father told him to keep his mouth shut.
Right. So it's very namastava to say such a thing. And that is why. And that is why this needs Hezber, and that we're suggesting that Hezber is, this is different, because it was consolidated. Authority was consolidated into one Shevet, into one leader, which automatically breeds corruption. And that's why this has to be downplayed. There's something more serious. And the second Mahalach is a Mahalach, which this is discussed different ways, is Eis Lasas LaHashem cannot be uprooted legamli. There has to be some miktsoya, some category in Torah Shebaal Peh that remains pure, that's only derived through transmission from one generation to the next. And Masechta Chanukah was selected to be the dogma in order to preserve the legitimacy of Eis Lasas. You need something that's still real. And it fits very much in line with the theme of Chanukah, because the Menoy represents Torah. Can we all know the menorah represents Torah, and it represents the purity of Torah. And the purity of Torah, Shebaal Peh, is you don't put in writing. There's no Eis Lasos for this. This has to go down in transmission. Okay, another quick idea, just a few minutes left, just some short ideas. We today, every single day, to a degree, we preserve the memory of Chanukah. How do we do this? One of the things that the Yevanim did, when they took over the Beis HaMikdash, was they were pirates 13 breaches in the Soireik. Okay, there's a big, why exactly number 13? There are different interpretations as to why 13. Some learn simply, there's a question of how many entrances were there into the Azara. We learned in the Mishnayos there were 7. Some claim there were 7 that were called Sha'arim. But there were really entrances in total 13. The Soireg was basically a very short wicker barrier that told the Goyim, you may not go further. And it was also completely closed. It was only open, according to some opinions, on the east side. When the Yevanim, they entered and they conquered the Harabayas, they opened up entrances corresponding to all the other main entrances in the Azara, 13 pritzos. When we took back the Beis HaMikdash, they were rebuilt, the wall was rebuilt, and Mikan ul Haba, there are many different opinions about this, is every time a person would pass the location of where there used to be a breach, they would bow down. They would bow down in that Mokoyim as a zecher for the Nes of Chanukah. Chanukah doesn't end tomorrow. Chanukah, there were small little takonos that were instituted by Chazal to remember the miracle of Chanukah every single day of your life. And for example, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYekayim, when one would come to visit the Beis HaMikdash and he would pass one of the 13 locations of where the Yevonim breached the wall, which told them, get out, you're a goy, and they attempted to defile the sanctity. When that breach was repaired, and there was a hevdel, Ben Yisrael or Amen was repaired, in that location, no matter what day of the year you come, you have to bow down to be makir, the miracle of Hanukkah. So some of the Mepharshim explain that, you know, we know that we come to Beis HaKnesses, we say every single day, V'ani eshtachave ve'echro'ah lefnei Hashem. There are psukim, there are many psukim, there's some have, but we, in the Nusach HaTzfilah, we recite every day one pasuk, was in the Matovu, Avoy ve'isech eshtachave El Heichal Kodshecha, we recite every day at least one pasuk, and that pasuk, to a degree, is a zecher of the miracle of Hanukkah. Another example, in Baruch She'amar, I didn't count, but I read, is that there are 13 times it says the word Baruch. When we begin Psukei Dezimra, and we recite Baruch She'amar, the word Baruch appears 13 times. Baruch Horowitz, is that correct? Your namesake probably appears more. I think it says 15 times. There are different nuschois, but in the old Sfarim it says the reason why Chazal crafted there should be 13 mentions, at least in, I don't know which gear, so you have to look at the different gear size. Do you count the end bracha? I don't remember that there should be 13 mentions of the word Baruch to correspond to the 13 hishtachavos that were done when you come into the Mikdash. So that means every single day when you say Baruch Sho'amar, you are forced to recall the 13 breaches of the Yevonim and the repair. And the repair, we give Shevach Voidah to Hashem, Shevdilonu min Atoyim, Venoslonu Taras Emes. He repaired those breaches. It's a reminder. Hanukkah is not just 8 days. Hanukkah goes on the whole year. There's always a zecher of the repair. Okay, another just very short idea is, why is there such a emphasis, we've discussed already a few times, on the Mizbeach? Oz Egmor Bashir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbeach V'al HaMichya V'al Mizbechecha V'al Hechalecha. I didn't get the chance to talk about this yesterday, but one of the Chanukah, by design, always includes Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Teves. Why? The one of the highlights of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is Mizbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochen. Where else do you have such a nusach? That a bakosha to build a new mizbeach. Rosh Chodesh, okay, it's not for now, another topic of why is that so? Why is the centerpiece of the nusach of Musaf Mizbeach Chodosh B'tzion Tochen? It certainly fits very much in line with Chanukah, which is the Chanukas HaMizbeach. It fits in very much in line with the old Mizbeach was preserved. The stones that were defiled, at least some of them, were stored in the Beis HaMoikat as a museum. Don't ever forget the old Mizbeach. What's this about the Mizbeach? It's very simple. Where do you light the menorah from? What do? Like you have a match. The Kohen goes in every day to light the menorah. Where does he light the menorah from? It matches? A match, strike a match. So you'll say the Ner Maravi was going, okay, maybe you'll take it from the Ner Maravi. Let's say the Ner Maravi went out. It didn't always, the Ner Maravi the last 40 years was not lit. So where did you ignite the very first time they lit the menorah? Assuming it never went out. They always had the name Aravi. Where did they light the menorah from the very first time? Chazal say, the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is the mokoim, the makar of the Eish for the lighting of the menorah. What is the Mizbeach? Sacrifice. You give yourself up to Hashem. The miracle of the lighting of the Neros, the Pach Shemen, Where did that fuel, where did that aura come from? When they finally lit the menorah after all these years when the Mizbech was, when everything was under the control of the Yevanim. The halacha is they had to go to the Mizbech to take a fire from the Mizbech. The Mizbech was defiled, they had to build a new Mizbech. They first had to build a new Mizbech to create a fire of Tahara that can now be used to light the Neiros of the menorah. The Makor of the menorah is the Mizbech. And that Mizbech, what does it represent? Sacrifice. The Melchomos. The two in Yonim of Chanukah are all intertwined. The Neiros that we make the bracha on, when you light the Neiros, you ask yourself, how did I get the fire? The fire came from the Mizbech. The Mizbech was defiled. It was a new Mizbech. Chanukah HaMizbech. And what does the Chanukah HaMizbech, what does the Mizbech represent? It represents a person is willing to give his neshama up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Laman Hashem. And that's exactly what the Chashmonoim, the Bnei Matisyahu did. They gave up their Moser Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Makar of our ability to light the Tahara of the Or of Chanukah. One last thing I'm going to present to the law is there's a very big difference between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah, we light the Neiros. On Purim, we say, La Yehudim Ha'isa Oira Simcha V'Sasayin V'Kar. So we start with today, V'Kar. Chanukah is only patterned, according to the Rambam, after a foundation of Purim. It doesn't make it to Purim. Why not? Because the Or of Purim was an Or of Yukar. La Yehudim Ha'isa Oira Simcha v'sasan v'kar. Chanukah did not have the yikar. Chanukah is or, but it was lacking in the kovod of Klal Yisrael, because unfortunately there were still many milchamos that were still fought after Chanukah until they finally had control. But then there was eventually a churban. All right, stop here. Dav mincha. Today is the last day of mincha. Rabbi said next week we're not having mincha anymore. It's too late. It's too late. This is the last mincha. Next week is no mincha.
Yeah, he's been up on the road.